and no one else. And when you look at them, once you know who Allah is, you look at them, it's very easy to pick it up. It's very easy. When you study them well, it's very, very easy. For instance, when Ibrahim had the argument with the man in the Quran, the man said, I'm the only Lord I know of. There's no other God but me. So Ibrahim said, my Lord gives life to the dead. He can kill, he can give life and he can kill. He said, I can kill too. You know the verse of the Quran? What did he do?
He
said, come here, somebody come here, come here. He got one of his words and he killed him. See, I do that too. So what do you say? But then he said, what is Ibrahim saying on this? He said, my Lord also brings the sun from, he can bring the sun from the west. He can make a rise from the west. Do that. See, these are things that we know that Africans are specifically fall off from those allegations. We care what Allah is giving life and soul to death in a limited sense, because when we have the intercourse, sexual intercourse, this is a form of giving life. Is it not? And if we take a gun, what else do we know that Allah gives us the power? And we shoot someone, or we kill someone. We know that this is also causing death. But this specific attribute, that's an attribute of Allah, to be able to cause the sun, which he's going to do, to rise from a point that is to us the abnormal point where it's supposed to rise. So that particular attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that only he has. The same thing with us will do. Only Allah can be holy. The Prophet can't be holy because the Arabic meaning, not the English meaning, the Arabic meaning of El Qudus means that thing is perfect. There's no imperfections in it whatsoever. Which also means now that it's divine. Once something is perfect, it's divine. What is the creation is perfect? What? Anybody? Can anybody hear anything in this creation is perfect? So it's not divine. It's just a logical conclusion. And if it's not divine, it's not holy.
So is it all right for the correction to take on anything for yourself? But I know people.
Some of them you can and some of them you can't. Right. Some of them you can and some of them you can't.
Is it proper?
It's proper to use kudus if you say Abu kudus. But there's other names, and even if you say, for instance, you call it Abu kudus. For instance, Rahim. Some people will call it Rahim. It's legal. No, well, not Abdul Rahim, it's Rahim. You call it Rahim. Right? Yes.
Yes, I was going to say, like, when they call themselves Rahim in the Arabic, or even like Ra'uf in the Arabic, when you write it in Arabic, it has the tamrin.
It doesn't make any difference.
But in English, you know, you said
it doesn't make any difference because it doesn't make any difference. What you're saying, he's saying that means it over and over. He's saying it's indefinite.
Right.
It's not the Rahim. But Allah calls himself Rahim without the definite Allah.
Right. He calls himself many things in the Quran.
Allah says, in Allah, Ra'uf and Rahim.
Indefinite.
And in some of the places, he says, Al-Ra'uf al-Rahim. That he's the. He calls him, he uses the indefinite and he uses the definite. The same thing you can call yourself. Allah is Rahim. Right? Allah is Ra'u. Allah is Rahim. And we know Allah is here, right? You don't forget it. Allah is Rahim. That's your name. And Allah is Rahim. The kind. Right? Or something is kind. You can choose his name, you can choose his name, you can choose his name. You just can't put the definite article in front of it, which is the, and say, Al-Rahim. Or Al-Ra'u. Or Al-Rahim, right? You just can't do that. If you do that, you have to put Abd in front of it, which is Abdul Rahim, which is the servant of the Rahim, Allah. The servant of Abdul Rahim, the servant of Rahim, right? So either way you want to take it, you can either take it without a definite article, which means the, right? All it means the. You know some brothers that call themselves As-Salam. You can't do that. You see? But you can call yourself Salam, no problem. But for those you can't do that. Why? Because intrinsically the meaning of for those suggests divinity. Rahim doesn't suggest divinity. Because there are many human beings that are merciful. There are many human beings that are kind. There are many human beings who are friendly. But for those means divine, no imperfections whatsoever. That is only for Allah. But What it means that we share with Allah, there's attributes that we share with Allah, and there's some that we don't, that are only for Allah. And we share with them only in name, not in degree. Because we say, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ, there's nothing equal to him. So though I can be Rahim, Allah calls the Prophet in the Quran Ra'ul. He calls him Rahim. He called Luqman in the 30-something chapter of the Quran. He wasn't even a prophet. He called him Hakim. Luqman El Hakim. So why? Because we're about to go, right? I mean, you know the story, right? This person from Nubia, from the part of Sudan, got Captain Luqman is dedicated to him. He calls him Hakim. Yeah, but see here, it doesn't suggest what it suggests when he's on what. It means that this person is a very, very wise person. You see? So it's permissible to do that. But there's some names you just cannot call yourself. Even if you can't even put Abdul in front of it. Can't even say it that way. But it's exclusive before Allah. Allah has a name, Zul Jalali Wal Ikram. You don't find Muslims taking it. You don't go to Muslim countries to find Muslims doing it. Only we do this in America. You don't find Muslims calling themselves the Abdul Zanali Jalali Wal Ikram. Abdul Nadiqul Walmuf. You don't find people doing it because of
Is that the same with Khalid?
No, that's another one. This is another one. That's an example for the system. We can't call ourselves Khalid, the Creator. Because the Creator, this is the intrinsic meaning of Khalid, of Khalid. Khalid, some people call it with one A. Khalid, the Creator. It doesn't mean that if you took it with doesn't mean that how you don't call it something. You don't create anything. Creation means that you start with nothing and you make something. You don't create anything. Nobody's going to make anything. Right?
But
we don't say we procreate. Because the meaning of creation means to take nothing and make something. What we do is we are manufacturing. We're creating in a limited sense. We're using materials that were here before you came out of mother's womb to make something else. You're changing the form of something that was already here to another form. You're not saying be, and it is. That's creation. Creation signifies or indicates origination. That's what it means. When you create, you're the originator. That's why Allah calls himself the originator of the heavens. He's the only one that can do bid'ah. That's what the word means. That's what it means. The only one that has the right to do bid'ah is Allah. It's to introduce something, to bring something into existence that wasn't there before. That's what it means. You don't have the right to do that. You don't, you know what? Right? What's that with us? Any other questions? Okay. All right. Are these things kind of clear?
Kind of.
Somewhat? If some of them is not clear? Excuse me, huh? It's fuzzy? It's fuzzy. Okay. It's V. I thought it was V. I know some Nazis because you can hear some real V stuff. That, and then that's the reason why it's V, but that other stuff is so V. Yeah, get that stuff out of my brain. It's real simple. Okay, you know something I think I'm going to speak. Oh, yes. I made a mistake. See? I'm not so good. I made a mistake. The part that says, Allah's names are all perfect and beautiful, that's under principle number two.
Okay.
Doesn't make a difference to y'all anyway, y'all want to hear that. Okay. So
that's branch number one.
Right. Principle number one only has sticking to the text. Alright? And everything else is principle number two.
Okay. Sticking to the text, that was
Please?
Yes, that last one.
That's right. Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
I'm forgiven? That's going to walk. Okay. Third principle. Inshallah, after the class, we'll pick it out, inshallah. The mistake that I made. I'll clean up for it, inshallah. The third principle. The third principle is what? The third principle is that the attributes, all of the attributes of Allah, are sublime, perfect, and let me see how would I turn everything to it.
And they indicate, with a difficult word to translate,
and they praise him. All the attributes of Allah are sublime, perfect, and they indicate that he is being praised, and they don't have any deficiencies or these or just deficiencies. They don't have any imperfections or deficiencies. This sounds like one of the other principles, right? No imperfections. No deficiencies. It sounds like the other principle, it sounds like one of the other ones, but it's not. And we'll explain it when we start off. What we mean by this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we person, life, knowledge, power, hearing, seeing, wisdom, mercy, transcendency or highness or sublimity, all these lofty, sublime attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he says in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ النَّفْلُ الْأَعْلَى, and to Allah belongs the loftiest, most perfect, sublime attributes. Okay? Now, the next thing you want to mention, you have to really think about this one. You have to put on your thinking kufis and kimonos on there. You're going to give your feet for y'all. You have to really think about this stuff on there. Okay? That is that there are some names of Allah and or attributes that, and I mentioned this earlier, that when they're talking about Allah, they're all perfect, they're being praised, they're all sublime. But if you take the same name or the same attribute and connect it to a human being, it's something bad. Simply what we mean is, there are some attributes that we share with Allah and names. If you talk about Allah with that same name or attribute, it's something good. If you talk about a human being, it's something bad. But the exact same name. Anybody give me an example?
Al-Mu'min.
Al-Mu'min
is the chemist.
Al-Mu'min. That may be able to use. But the only difference is that even the name Al-Mu'min is the gift, the cause of death. With us, that can also be good. I'm talking about something that is totally, always, exclusively bad. It's a name of one attribute, an attribute that Allah has, and it's an attribute that human beings have. But when you're talking about Allah, it's always good. Not only is it good, it's sublime, it's perfect, and it's praised. You're actually praising Allah when you say it. But if you say the same attribute about a human being, it's the opposite. It shows degradation. It shows that it's actually an attribute of a human being that is derogatory and degrading. Can anybody give an example? An attribute that I can have, that you can have, but if you have it, it's a bad thing, but Allah has it, it's a good thing. Can you give an example? Anybody?
Yeah, I'm just looking at you.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
No, Allah doesn't have the name destroyer in it. Of yesterday. Hmm?
I think
you know. Anybody know? Okay. One of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is No. One that's another subject. One of the attributes of Allah is Al-Kabir. And also Mutakabbir. Mutakabbir. Anyone know what Mutakabbir means? Anybody? Al-Mutakabbir means arrogant. Means arrogant. This is the name of Allah. Al-Mutakabbir. Al-Mutakabbir. Mutakabbir. We say Mutakabbir. But it's an Al-Mutakabbir. Al-Mutakabbir. Right? It's one of the names of Allah. Inside this name, and we mentioned inside all the names are attributes. The intrinsic, internal attribute inside Mutakabbir is kibr, which means the proud and arrogant. It's an attribute in it which means something that is proud and haughty and arrogant. When you talk about Allah like that, it's sublime, perfect, and you're praising it. When you talk about Allah being with the champion, it is something that shows how high he is, it is something that shows his perfection, and it's something that praises him. But something from the creation, the human being, if you call a human being with the champion, it means he's an arrogant, haughty, I don't know who you think is going to go to the hospital. They go to another community. Watch what I say, inshallah. But do you understand what I'm saying? So there's some attributes, there's attributes that we share with Allah, but for this, they're always showing sublimity of Allah. It's always showing perfection in Allah, even if we don't understand it. For instance, Allah knows that. Go ahead, so you can make the
gift. So we can equate that with the definition of arrogance and how haughty that we know of. We can equate that with.
Yeah, but the difference is that Allah says in chapter 42, verse 11, Laysa kamithlihi his shape, wa huwa samiu'ul basir. There's nothing like him. So his arrogance is a praiseworthy thing because he's the only one that has the right to be arrogant. Allah is the only one that has the right to be, you know, of course you don't say pick out the chef, so Allah doesn't say it's a chef. But you're proverbially speaking, the only one that has the right to boast is the one who started this whole thing. Allah. No human being has the right to be arrogant. No. How can that be? Who has the right to be haughty? Well, Allah can take their life, you know, I mean, we can't even give the time period it takes Allah to give us. And take everything from you that you own. And a blinking, quicker than a blinking of eye. I mean, how can no human being, that's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, related from Allah in a hadith Qudsi, in the fourth hadith Qudsi, the famous hadith, he said, Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, pride is my robe, and greatness is my robe, and pride is my cloak. And whoever tries to compete with me in these two things, I'll cast him into the hellfire. Okay? I'll cast him into the hellfire. So this is an attribute of Allah that you are not supposed to take. Because when you take it, it shows something bad. When we talk about Allah with it, it shows something sublime, perfect, and you're praising him. For instance, Allah says in the Quran, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Sleep nor slumber overtakes him not. Right? And this, these two negative things that Allah is negating of himself, that he doesn't sleep, nor not only does he not sleep, He doesn't have to pee. That's why a lot of women understand why he's infinitely wise. But he could have just said he doesn't speak. He's like a five and seven. They say, yeah, man, I'm not speaking, man. I'm going to get some rest. Right? That's, you know what they say, right? I'm going to get rest. I don't speak, I go rest. But God don't speak. I'm just going to get some rest. Right. He's going to get some rest. Yeah. But what Allah says in the Quran, slumber, fatigue, eat the prelude to sleeping doesn't even overtake Allah. The thing that causes you to sleep doesn't even come over Allah. You see? Now, we can say the same thing about this wall. Right? Am I right or wrong? Last that fool of sleep what I know. Have that be down. Last that fool of sleep what I know. This wall, no sleep can overtake you now. Is that showing the sublimity of the wall? Does it show perfection in the wall? Are you praising the wall? So the law you are. Okay, it's the same principle. So there are some names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them have attributes inside of them. Some of them, they show deficiency. And some of them, they show perfection. When it's talking about Allah, it's always perfect. So when it's talking about the created thing, it shows imperfection. Even though the word that Allah calls himself, has from one point of one viewpoint it can show perfection, another viewpoint it shows imperfection. When you talk about Allah, it's always perfect. Example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the surah called, let me see, what is the number of the surah? Anfal, chapter number 8. Surah Anfal. Al Anfal. I think it's surah 8. Surah Anfal, the verse is verse 30. I think that's it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, it's 8 chapters. The 8th chapter, the 30th verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَنْكُرُونَ وَيَنْكُرُونَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They plot, and Allah plots. And Allah is the best of plotters. The word makr, that's used in the verse. The word makr. Makr means to plot. Inside this word that Allah calls himself, this attribute, from one point of view, plotting is a good thing. The plan is a good thing. But from another point of view, plotting can be a bad thing. Am I right or wrong? Is this right? But Allah calls himself this. Another example. Allah says in the surah called Tariq, he says in the 86th chapter of the Quran, the 86th chapter of the Quran, the last two verses, 15 through 17. 15 through 17. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. Right? Actually, 16. 15 and 16 verses. 15 and 16 verses. Allah says, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. Sure, they plot, a plot against you. And Allah says, I plot, a plot against them. Alright? And this word is kaid. Right? And then you have another word, khidab, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the fourth surah of the Quran, the 142nd verse. Allah says, chapter 4, verse 142. He says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. Surely the hypocrites, they try to deceive Allah. This is Khidah. That's the strong narrative. Khidah. K-H-I-D-A-A. Because إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. But Allah and Allah deceive them. Then Allah tricked them. That's what it means. Allah beguiles them. Allah dupes them. The word dupe or trick in one sense can be a good thing. But in another, if you look at another aspect, it can also be a bad thing. So now, how do we understand Allah calling himself these things?
Chapter 42, verse 11.
That's a little bit. There's nothing like him. However, he's deceitful. He's not like anything else, right? But now, let me ask you a question. This is an examination. Anybody who gets this right, you just get it right. Can we say that Allah is the planner? Just say Allah is the deceiver. Can we say that? Allah is the tricker. Allah is the tricker. Is it safe to say that? But no, this is what I'm saying. Based on all the principles of things we just learned already in the past 2 weeks. Alright? Can we safely say that Allah is a massive supplier? He's the deceiver, the tricker. Can you call that?
No.
Okay, so in the sense you, if Allah described by trickery and deception and plotting, you can't say yes and you can't say no. You know what the key is? When you read verses like this, and you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling himself by names that have these type of attributes in them, what you have to do is you have to look at how it's being used in the Quran. You'll never, ever, ever, Allah is odd, he says, and he says, odd, I'll be fine. You'll never, ever, ever see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call himself by a name that can suggest deficiency or defect or something criminal in it by itself. You'll never see this in the Quran. You'll never see this. You'll always see him using this name in a combative type of way. He's warring with someone who's trying to do that thing. Look, anywhere in the Quran. They try to deceive Allah, so Allah deceives them. Right? So the way we would answer this is, no, we can't call Allah this, and we can't say yes, we can call Allah this. The answer is that we have to call Allah these things only when they're used like this. Only when he's using these names or these attributes to combat someone in this sense. Now, I don't know, is this clear?
Yeah.
Is not clear? You understand what I'm saying? It's a combative type of thing. You'll never see Allah in the Quran say, he created the heavens and the earth, and he made the night versus the day, and surely Allah is a deceiver. You follow what I'm saying? You'll always see Allah calling himself this when somebody in his creation that he created is trying to do that. Then he shows how good he is at doing it, and he's the best at doing that. But when he's not doing that, you can't call Allah that because that's not him all the time. He's only like that when somebody stupid tries to be like that too. That's what it means. That's the answer.
So that's kind of retaliatory?
It's a retaliatory type attribute. And you can't say Allah is that. Allah is a tricker. Other than that, you can't call Allah a tricker. But yes, you can call Allah a tricker if somebody tries to be tricky. Because now he comes back. See, anything that shows any type of defect or deficiency or something evil in it, Allah says, "Fi qulubihim maradun." فَزَادَهُمْ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. In their heart is a disease. Now, I don't want people to get sick, but if they take it upon themselves to deviate from Surat al-Mustaqim, from the straight way, and let kufr or shirk or bid'ah or anything come into their heart, Allah now is the increaser of disease. That can happen to you. So he takes upon himself, you want to be like that? You stupid. I'm going to treat you. You see? So, but you can't call on Allah and say, oh, increaser of disease. So Allah is a healer. But anyone who gets stupid with Allah, I keep using the word stupid, but I don't really want to say what I really want to say. I mean, I don't want to say, yes, I don't want to say what I really want to say. But anyone who has this this warring has attributed against Allah and the Messenger and those who believe, then Allah says, the hypocrite can try to deceive Allah. Okay, he's trying to deceive Allah, so Allah deceives him. But Allah is not the deceiver. He's only the deceiver for those who are justified in being deceived. That's why the Prophet is every single khutbah on Friday, he'd ask me something, Alhamdulillah, Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. He would say, من عوض الله من سرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له. Whoever Allah guides them upon to lead them astray. ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. And whoever he causes to go astray, and I'm going to ask you of Allah, the one who causes you to go astray, because Allah wants you to be guided. But who, why does Allah say, whoever he causes to go astray, there's no one guidance? Because somebody is so stupid that they want to be going, they want to go astray. So when they want to go astray, he makes you even go further. See? It's a responsive type attribute. But you can't call Allah the one who makes people go astray. You can only call him that when they themselves have this disease in their heart and they want to go astray. And that's our proof, that's one of our proofs, that if someone wants to be guided, Allah will guide them. If they don't want to be guided, there's nothing that anyone can do about it. Because Allah now uses the other conditional attribute. When they don't want to be guided, He helps them not be guided and sends them further, 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 further away. That's what we mean by this. And this is serious. It's from a lot of different aspects, it's very serious. Number one, it teaches us how to look at these verses in the Quran. And when you look at these verses in the Quran, you'll always notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He ends the verse with a name of Himself, this goes back to the inside structure of the verse. Like you'll see, He says, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ, and He is the High, the Great. If you go back to the verse, I guarantee you the verse has something to do with Tawheed or Shirk. I guarantee you. It has something to do with Shirk. Because Allah attaches at the end of verses, when He uses His name, He attaches an appropriate name that has to do with what He mentioned inside the verse. Look, just look at the Quran. When you go home, you check it out. When you see Him saying, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is in the verse, it's something He doesn't set down from rain, or He's making the flowers grow. When you look at the verses that talk about people being stupid, right, for instance, He'll say, He's a bull intiqam. He's the inflictor of retribution. The verse will always be an indication on why He's giving the name. He uses that name of the name. And then you see some verses when He uses 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 names at the end of the verse. Right? And then at the end, when He talks about how people commit shirk, He'll say, Wasubhanallah ya'amma yushrikun. Glory be to Allah from the things that they ascribe to Him. Right? But these are things which Allah, you know, for instance, here's one that's right in front of you. Allah says, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. What concern has Allah for your punishment if you are thankful for His mercy and believe in Him? Allah was ever the thankful, the knower. The thankful, the knower. But inside the verse, Allah says, what concern have you that Allah, what concern does Allah have for your punishment if you are thankful? You see? He mentioned an attribute that human beings are supposed to have, then He explains what He is at the end of the verse by saying, He's the most thankful. You see? And He's the knower. The knower of what? The knower that you're either thankful or you're not. Okay? And Allah uses in this, interesting, Allah uses in this verse, He says, in shakartum wa amantum. That you are thankful and you believe, because the linguistic meaning of disbelief means not being thankful. The linguistic meaning, not the religious meaning, the linguistic meaning of kafir, the linguistic meaning of kufr means to be ungrateful, to not be thankful. And the religious meaning means that you are not thankful to the one who created you, that makes you a disbeliever. Because you deny that He's the one who works. You're not thankful for the one who should be worthy. So these names, brothers and sisters, is what time? 4 to 2? Okay. These names, when we see these names like this, the deceiver, the punisher, you know, these names, oh,
I'm glad I mentioned this. Along with this, there are other names in the Quran and in Hadith. And if you look at the 99 names, and you have a list of those names, the 99 names, I don't see it around. Yeah, right here. You'll notice that some of these names are, they have, if you notice in the Quran, you'll see that, and Sifim Du'a, the Prophet used to say, that you can't use the name separately. This is a different category. This is always combative or responsive. But there's other names of Allah that you'll see him using another name, they always back to back. You see? You can't accept it's illegal to tell me to separate those names. Alright? For instance, Allah calls himself the giver. Now there's another attribute called Abu Wahab. Another name called Abu Wahab. But then there's some other names that Allah calls himself, and they're like dual attributes, dual names or dual attributes. Alright? They're dual attributes. You can't use one without the other. Let me see if I can give you an example. One is, to give you an example.
No,
that's different. One, One is, here we go. Al-Mani and Al-Babu. Alright? Al-Mani means the, Al-Dabu and Al-Mani'u wa-Dabu. Al-Mani'u Al-Mu'ni and Al-Mani. Al-Dabu and Al-Mani. One means the preventer and the other means the harmer. You can't use the preventer by itself. You have to use this one with this one. The giver and the restrictor. You can't say Allah is the restrictor without calling him the giver along with the restrictor. You have to say he's the giver and the restrictor. Right? He's the giver and the preventer. You understand what I'm saying? You can't use one by itself.
Yeah.
There's some you can use by themselves. There's some like these that you have to use when they're in response to something that the creation is trying to do. And there are others that you can't use them separately. There are two that go with each other. Like, when you come from the pool, it's telling how long I'm coming up, or better when I can come. And there's a dua of the problem you can make. Mil asana wa asana wa mil al-arq wa mil al-adainu ma لا ينفع ذا الجد من ذا الجد ولا نعبد الا اياه له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن لا اله الا الله مخلصنا الدين ولو كرم الكافرون اللهم لا مانع لما اعطيت ولا معطي ولا منع اللهم لا مانع لما اعطيت ولا معطي لما منع When Allah gives, no one can take it away. Huh? And whenever Allah takes away, no one can give. You have to use both of those together. Because if you use it by itself, Allah is the harder, that's the dog rule. Then this suggests to a person's mind something is, evil. Allah is the harder. You see? It should always be used in opposition, to the other name. And this is something that's really, really important. To understand, inshallah. So, I think it's 8 o'clock now, right? If there's nothing else, inshallah, we will end it here?
Mm-hmm.
Or we will go on? 6 to 8, right?
Okay.
So, we're going to stop here? It's better to stop here. Okay. That means that suggests that we should stop to be early. All right. No questions? No questions about this? No rebuttals? No comments?
Yeah, I just want to say now that principle number two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for principle number one, it has no branches. Principle number one has no branches.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's obligatory to stick with the text. Mm-hmm. Principle number two, concerning names of Allah, is number one, Allah's names, all of our names are beautiful and perfect. That's the first branch, the first part. The second is that Allah's names are not restricted to a specific number.
So that's the answer you gave us.
Right. Principle number two. Third, you can't use rational thinking. In the fourth is that all of Allah's, or each of Allah's names indicate his essence or his being. and an attribute which is comprised of something that is either transitive or intransitive. The effects of creation, some do and some don't.
And the third principle was that the attributes of Allah, all the attributes of Allah are sublime, perfect, and they're crazy. There's no deficiency in any kind of way, you know, things of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it?
I thought it was a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Is that it? Subhanahu wa ta'ala wa hamdaka, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, wahdaka la sharika lak, wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Salaam alaykum.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين. You know what I have, right? Where would he go?
Principle 3. All the attributes of Allah are sublime, perfect, crazy, no
imperfection. All the attributes of Allah?
Spoke about the responsive, combative attributes.
Right. Anybody give me an example of that? I mean, anyone who was here? Give me an example of an attribute of Allah. An attribute that Allah attributes to himself, but we cannot call him that just unrestrictedly. Even though he calls himself that, we can't call him that unrestrictedly without some conditions. Can anybody give an example?
Arrogant?
No, he's always arrogant. No, Allah is always arrogant. But with that attribute in you is bad, but in him is good. But he's always arrogant. For him, that's a good thing. For you, that's a bad thing.
Hidah,
yeah. This attribute, when Allah comes out and says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ خَاعِدُهُمْ, that surely the munafiqun, the hypocrite, they try to deceive Allah, they try to trick Allah, and Allah tricked them. You cannot call Allah the deceiver or the tricker. Even though he attributes this attribute to himself, you can't call Allah the tricker without some conditions. What we do say is that at the time that person, or those individuals are trying to deceive and trick Allah and the Messenger and those who believe, that's when he uses the same attribute as a retaliatory or combative attribute against the people who are trying to do it. But at the time that they're not doing it, he's not that. You just can't stand up in dua and say, oh Allah, oh deceiver. You can't call Allah that. Only when they're trying to do it to Allah and the Messenger and those who believe, that's when he does it. When it ends, he's no longer that. Is that kind of clear?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You weren't able. Is that clear?
No.
But is it clear? Okay. And there's some other attributes of people who wasn't here. There's some other attributes like this. Allah calls himself the plotter, the plant, you know, the deceiver, the tricker, the beguiler. You know, so these attributes are attributes that, for lack of a better word, they're just conditional attributes. He's never that unrestricted. You know, he's never that. And in fact, in Arabic, when we call it, you say, when you see this word a lot in Arabic, mutlaqan. So those who study Arabic spell like this. Mutlaqan. This is a Latin. Mutlaqan. What this means is, mutlaqan means, unrestricted, restricted, restrictedly. Unrestrictedly. Which would mean, this terminology is used in Tafsir, Quran, Fiqh, Hadith. It's used all through Islamic science. All the Islamic sciences, this terminology is used. Mutlaqan or mutlaq. Right? Unrestrictedly. What it means is that, what's a simple way to say it? Unrestrictedly. Unbounded. It means that it has no limitations. In other words, you can't call Allah these attributes that he calls himself without some restrictive conditions. That's what it means. You can't say Allah is a deceiver, mutlaqan, unrestrictedly. There's some conditions to call him that. That's what it means. Unconditionally, you can use that too. Unconditionally kind of is not as close to the meaning as this. So that's what that means. But the other thing that you mentioned, I think, about Allah being arrogant, Mutakabbir, that's the name, Mutakabbir. This name, he's always this. He's always with us. Alright? But the difference is that when you call Allah arrogant, this is showing his sublimity, it's showing perfection in him, and it's praising him. But if you say that you're arrogant, and Allah forbid, I'm going to point to you, the person sitting right there. And the person sitting right there, in this case right here, is arrogant, then for him, it's a lowly, imperfect, blameworthy attribute. See, but with Allah, it's the opposite. Right? So there's a difference. Any questions for anything that we went through last week that you, that maybe came to your mind when you left, and we can understand before we begin? See, and not specifically for this class, but specifically for this class and in general, I really, really feel sad that these classes are going to end. I mean, anybody knows me well knows I like to do this kind of stuff. I could do this all day, every day. I really feel bad that we don't have things like this continuously, you know? Because there's a lot of information, a whole lot of information. I mean, we could do this for years, and then literally for years. And I just pray that Allah, the Muslims,
you gonna pick it back up later on?
Yeah, either. I mean, it's up to the administration here. The message: either we can continue if we don't get a good response, or continue for starting another one from the beginning. Maybe we can talk to the imam about taking this to the next like semester. You know, people who graduate, so to speak, from this section, this semester, you want to call, and then graduate going with the more advanced.
That's what they normally do.
Yeah, so that, I, you know, as long as they want to use me, I'm ready. Okay. The next thing is Allah's attribute. This is the next branch to the principle we're dealing with right now.
Next branch of principle. Is
whatever principle it is, this is the next branch to it.
Okay, so this would be principle 3A?
Right. 3A. 3A. That is, Allah's attributes are divided into two things. That Allah or His messenger, the Quran and the Sunnah, Hadith, says that He is. In other words, they are affirming that He is there. And for those who were absent, we mentioned that those 99 so-called attributes are not 99 attributes, they're 99 names. We're talking about attributes.
the attributes of Allah. And of course, every name has an attribute in it. So, everything that Allah simply means everything that Allah, the Prophet says that Allah is. Not only does it form the category of affirmation, we have to affirm what Allah and the Prophet has affirmed about Allah. It's wajib, if you follow the Hanafi. It's obligatory. It's wajib. It's obligatory. Absolutely imperative. Whatever Allah says He is, we have to believe that He is. Alright? Without taqdeer, without tahreef, without tamthil, and without ta'fir. And we gave these definitions before. And once again, for those who are not here, who weren't here before, inshallah, they can review the tape, or review the notes and the tape for people who are here. Alright? So, for instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has affirmed in the Quran that He has life. Right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has life. He also has affirmed in the Quran, and also the Prophet has affirmed, alayhi salam, that Allah has power. For instance, Allah says in the Quran, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Allah, there is no deity worthy of worship, there is no ilah worthy of worship except Him, and He is al-hayyu, and He is al-qayyum. He is the ever-living, which means He has to have life. So we know automatically that Allah is not dead, because He says He's alive. Alright? And even though from the branch of the principle we just learned this last week, that even though He does have life, with us, life indicates death. So with Allah, life indicates eternal, the eternal nature of life. Alright? So we have to remember that. So Allah says that He is al-hayy. He is al-hayy, the living. Alright? And of course, His life is not like our life. Even though we have life, birds have life, roaches have life, everything has life, trees, etc. Allah's life is not like our life. And no life can be compared to His life. Not denying that we don't have life, and not denying that Allah doesn't have life. The point is that Allah says He has life. So that attribute, that He has life, that He has power, that He has knowledge, etc., is there are the attributes called Thubutiyyah. Sifatul Thubutiyyah. Attributes of affirmation. But then, as the brother, eloquently mentioned, and Allah reward him and all of us, he mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributes of negation, and he gave a perfect example. And you can look in, what is the number of surah Kahf? 17? 18. Surah Kahf, verse 49. At the very end of that chapter, at the very end of that ayah, that verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ وَيَقُولُونَ يَا لَيْتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك احدا. And the book is placed, and you see the guilty fearful of that which is therein. And they'll say, what kind of book is this that leaves not a small thing nor a great thing but has counted? And we know that the book here means what? Okay. No. You know what the book means here? The book of Yazid. Right. It says, what kind of book is this that leaves not a small thing or a great thing but has counted? And they'll find all they did confirming, by the way, on the gap. And they found all that they did confirming it. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Your Lord to anyone or anything is never unjust. Never. So that means the difference between the Thububiyyah and the Salviyyah, that's Salviyyah, so Allah is negating the fact that He's unjust. The difference between, one of the main differences between the attributes that are Thububi and the attributes that are Salvi is that with the Thububiyyah one, we have to believe that He's that. With the Salviyyah one, there's two aspects. Number one, you have to believe that He's not that, because He said He's not, and the Prophet said He's not. And number two, we have to reverse the fact that if He's not that, He's the opposite of that. See, that's mandatory in this belief. See, the first one, we don't do that. In other words, if Allah says he is something, we don't twist it around and say he's not with that type of attribute. But with the negative one, with the ones of the attribute of denial, when he says he's not that, automatically we have to believe that he is the opposite of that, and he's not that. So this means that if a person, if a mother has been trying to have, her husband is trying to have children, and she gets pregnant, she loses the baby. She gets pregnant again next year, she loses the baby. She gets pregnant again the next year, she loses the baby. She gets pregnant again the next year, she loses the baby. Then finally Allah from the Allah gives her a child. Beautiful baby. And they ride down the street in the car, going to the mansion, and have an accident, the baby dies. And she screams out, this is not fair. This is unjust. Why you do this to me, Allah? This is unjust. This is, of course, it's an emotional state, but this is a violation of the belief of this attribute. Because Allah is never unjust. What he does is always good. Relative to human beings is bad to us, or evil, or haram, or sinful. But relative to Allah, in his infinite wisdom, why he does this, there's no tyranny, there's no unfairness, there's no chauvinism. You brothers can have more than one wife. It's not fair. That's unjust. No, it's just. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Allah is never unjust. See? So this is an example of what the brother just mentioned. Another example is in chapter 2, verse 255. Right? Where Allah from the Ta'ala says, in the same verse that we mentioned, Allah is, there is no deity worthy worship except Him. He is alive, the ever eternal, the self-sufficient, excuse me. Then he says, لَا تَأْخُبُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ حَيْفُ كُرْتُمْ لَا تَأْخُبُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. I think he mentioned it before, right? About this part of the verse? No? Allah, in this verse, he says, sleep nor slumber overtakes him not. In actuality, it's the reverse. It says, slumber or sleep overtakes him not. لَا تَأْخُبُهُ سِنَةٌ. Allah uses the word sinah, and he used the word noun. We know this word, and we've heard it before, even though we may not know what it means. But the Mu'adhin in the Tajid prayer, he says, As-salatu khayrun min al-nawm. Prayer is better than sleep. It means sleep. Right? But sinah comes from the word, it doesn't come from the word, it means nu'ad. Nu'ad. It means like to doze off like this. If you come from seeds, then you do this. Nah. You doze it off? Like nodding out, even if you don't nod, just this, you overcome. It's like the prelude to this. It's the beginning stages of this. Like dozing off, right? Yeah. Now you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinitely wise. Right? Now, you see what he's talking about? We're talking about the 5%? Yeah. Somebody mentioned about the 5%?
Oh, yeah.
Who try to say that, they don't go to sleep? They say they rest. Right? I'm not sleeping, I'm resting. Right, okay. So, Allah answers them before clarity even started that group. Allah answers them 14 or 13 years ago by saying not only does sleep not overtake him, but the thing that is the introduction to sleep doesn't overtake him either. Okay, let me give the example of Musa. What Allah told Musa to do? When he explained this verse to Musa, this negative attribute to Musa? There's a hadith in the collection of, I believe it's either in Ad-Darimi or it's in Ad-Tabarani. One of those. Either Ad-Darimi or Tabarani, authentic hadith. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was explaining to Musa alayhi salam this particular attribute of Salviyya, that he doesn't sleep and that slumber doesn't overtake him, or dozing off doesn't overtake him, right? Doesn't never overpower him. He said, Moses, stand up with two jars, right? And of course, Musa is going to follow the commandment of Allah. He took two jars and now place them in your hand. So he stood up, right? He said, stand. And Musa stood, and then the first part of the night, midnight came, Musa dropped. And then the second part of the night came, and he started going up.
Right? And then the third part, he couldn't handle anymore, and he dropped the jaw of his brute when he fell on the ground. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa, said, if this were me, all of you would be destroyed, because I have the heavens and the earth in my hands. See, so this thing about Allah creating the heavens and earth in 6 days and resting and all these things, these are negative attributes. Allah denies that He has these things. And you should go through the Quran and you'll see there are quite a few attributes. Now that you're aware of it, you'll go through the Quran and you'll see what Allah says, He isn't this, He isn't that, I am not this. Sometimes He says it in the first person, I am not this, and I am not that. And He'll put it sometimes in the second person where Allah will have the prophet say, and oh our Lord, you are not this. Or you don't do this. So Allah says, for instance, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبِنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ جَامِعُ النَّاسِ لِيَوْمٍ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادَ. Says, our Lord, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ جَامِعُ النَّاسِ لِيَوْمٍ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. You are going to collect the people. Okay, on a day there will be no doubt. No doubt you're going to collect and gather all the human beings. Right? إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادَ. And you never break your promise. See? So this is the attribute Tawfiyyah. So that means Allah always keeps His promise. So that also means that if you do exactly what Allah says to do in the Quran and the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet, you go to Jannah. Because He doesn't break His promise. If you don't do that, because He doesn't break His promise, you won't go to Jannah.
Excuse me, I have to ask you
something. Yes.
Why does In the Quran, some things say
we. We're going to come to this, inshallah. But if you want the answer now, you want the answer right now? Okay. Well, I can't wait. What we means, like in Arabic language, also in like some other Semitic languages, for lack of a better word, like Middle Eastern languages. In fact, we even have it in English now. You'll notice that there's two types of plural. Alright? You have the plural of numbers, and you have the plural that's used for a term of respect and honor to show the greatness of something. Alright? So if you say, we are going fishing, it means something plural. But if you say, if you say, we, as Allah says, Allah خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ, and we, surely we created human beings. Right? Here we already know Allah is Ahad. It doesn't, because we have to go to other verses in the Quran. Qul hu Allahu Ahad. So just based on that alone, and because our principles tell us to stick to the text, we know that we have to mean something else. So it can't mean more than one. Right? Here, when it shows the greatness of Allah, it shows the greatness of Allah. And it's just a figure, it's just a terminology that's used in almost all Semitic languages. And we created the human being. Not that Allah has help, you know, Allah doesn't need help, but this is called the we of royalty. That's what it's called. The we of honor and respect. You'll see the President of the United States standing in front of the people, giving the state address, and he'll say, we, the President of the United States of America. You see this a lot. The imam will give a khutbah. What we will talk about today is, right? There's only one person standing in front of us. We, the Queen of England, say today, right? There's only one woman. So if that we is just a literary expression to show the greatness of the office of that individual. It's called the we of royalty, or the we of honor and respect. But it's not the we of numbers. So there's other places in the Quran, but just the one once again that the brother gave is a very good example. And then you can look for yourself. When you go through the Quran now, when you go through the hadith of the Prophet of Allah, you'll see these attributes being used. Any questions about this before we go to the next part? Nothing? Okay. Now, out of the attributes of Allah, Azza wa Jalla, the Mighty and Sublime, out of the attributes that Allah has that are Thubutiyya, these are divided into two types themselves. Alright? One and two. The ones that are باتية and فعلية. Yeah, those are the batia which deal with the being or the essence of Allah, the being or the essence, or Allah Himself, the self of Allah. And then the fi'liyah are the attributes of action. If you can call them the functional attributes. Or the operative attributes. Alright? Remember now, ba'tiyya and fi'liyya are both the divisions of thubutiyya. That means they're affirmative. You follow me? That means they're affirmative, and not sobiyya. And not attributes that he's negating himself. These are attributes that he says he has. Alright? Now, the first one, the attributes that are thubutiyya, ba'tiyya, they are the affirmative attributes. Allah or the Prophet alayhi salam has affirmed them, and they are dealing with his being, or his essence, or his self. Alright? Anyone have an idea what this means? The attributes that deal with it, there's a word that comes to my mind, but maybe I could use it, but I don't want to get real philosophical, you know. But we could call that the attributes that are metaphysical. The metaphysical attributes of Allah. But I don't know. I guess I won't get in trouble if I use it. But actually the being of Allah. And actually the actual person of Allah. That's what it means. The personage of Allah. You see? And when you say person, people say, oh my, you can't do that because Allah's not. Yeah, but he's. In a spiritual sense, yes, he is. He has a personage. That's what we mean. He has a being. Okay? What this means, this one, the first one, that he is, this means all of the attributes that the Allah always was characterized by. And always will be characterized by. I repeat, these are the badia. These are the ones that Allah has always been characterized by. Always, whether there was anybody around to characterize him by them or not, and always will be characterized by them. Okay, he's looking at me. You with me? Alright? And we'll explain it, of course, inshallah. The fi'liyya attributes, they're the ones that are associated with Allah's will. These are the ones that are associated, they're connected with Allah's will. Alright? In other words, if he wants to do it, he'll do it. If he doesn't want to do it, he won't do it.
Inshallah.
Huh? That's not the purpose of saying inshallah. But that statement is connected to the attributes of fi'liyya. That statement is. Alright? Now, I know it may be a little vague in some of your minds, but can anyone give me an example of an example for the first type, that is, something that deals with the actual self. Now, Dawood Adib himself is sitting in front of you. Alright? You are sitting in front of me. This part right here. The that. The self or the being of you and you are sitting in front of me right now. I see you as that. That's the actual being of you sitting in front of me right now. Alright? If you were outside of this building right now, your that is not here. Your that would be outside the building. If you were in Chicago, or you were in Miami, or in Mecca, or Medina, or someplace like this, I can't say that the that
of Abd al-Aziz is here. I can't say the that of Sister Khadija is here. Because the that is the person themselves. Presence can be used loosely, but it can be used, but it can't be used technically here, because people say, you know, my grandmother's dead and I feel her presence. See? But your grandmother's in that ground. After she died, she's put in the ground. Her that is not here. See? When you say the that, you mean the actual person themselves. The ruh that's inside the human being is not the that of the human being. The ruh, the soul, is inside the that. So what we see is the that. That's what I mean. Alright? This book is here, the that TV. That's what you say in Arabic. The book is in my hand right now, the that TV. Now the book is not in my hand, the that TV. I'm saying this Quran is this. Now I'm saying the book is here, figuratively. Right? It's not actually here in my hand. I would say, like some point with you, I'm saying, this Quran right here, brothers and sisters, but I'm referring to this over here. But this is the actual that of the book. The essence is right here. The being, the self of this book is right here. Or the chalk. Or a person. Or an animal. Etc. So Allah has a that. He has a being. He has a self. Alright? Essentially, he has a being. That is over the heavens and the earth. Allah, He Himself, the being, the that of Allah, is over His throne, which is over the heavens and the earth. Alright? So now, if we want to give an example of attributes that are that here, Allah means things that He was characterized by, always will be characterized by. Give me an example. Anyone. Something that is essentially of Him.
Al-Khaliq.
Being the Creator. That is a vastly attribute. Because He always was the Creator, and He always will be the Creator. Before there was anything to create, that attribute is vastly. But it's also figuratively. That attribute is both together. I want one by itself. Because Allah always was characterized by the Creator, and He always will be characterized by the Creator, even if there was nothing to create. And at the same time, it's an operative, actional, functional attribute, because it's something that He does. But what I want now is an attribute that is totally, exclusively, of the that He is. He always was eternal, and He always will be eternal. And can we say that that's functional? You're right. No, that's not technically functional. Well, give us one that's, really clear. I mean, really, we don't have to think. Can anyone think of one? He always was described as having that thing or being that. That's one. But the master also means owner. That's one. Yes, His holiness, He's always been described as being holy, and He always will be, and that's not a functional, that's right. But there's others. His hearing. The fact that He always heard, and He always will hear. Alright? But that's also fair ear, operable. But His hands. Allah has always been described as having hands. And He always will be described as having hands. But that's not an operative attribute. That's His hands as part of Himself. That's not an action thing. Mm-hmm. His eyes are not an action, operative, functional attribute. Allah has always been described as having eyes and always will be described as having eyes, and He doesn't need His eyes to see. See, that's the difference. We need ours to see. Allah doesn't need us to see. Why? What's the reason why He doesn't need His eyes? No. What's the reason? Real simple. Listen to the word I use. Listen to my statement. Allah doesn't need eyes to see. He doesn't need anything. If you say He needs eyes to see, you're saying that He has necessity.
He depended on something. Allah never depended on his eyes to see. You see? You see? Put your eyes on our eyes. Right? Okay. His feet. Allah mentions and the Prophet mentions that Allah has feet. That he's been characterized as having feet. Before there was anything created, Allah had those feet. And he always will have those feet. He's not going to go anywhere. Right? So that attribute, that those are attributes that are attributed to Allah, and he's characterized by them from before there was a time till there won't be any time. Alright? But the fi'liya attributes are attributes that are connected to Allah's will. If he wants to do it, he'll do it. And if he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't. He won't do it. Some of them are both together and some of them are not. Now, I want an example now of an attribute that is fi'liya, totally fi'liya, mutlaqan. No, not mutlaqan, muqayyidan, restrictively. I want one now that it can't, it's not a fi'liya, excuse me, it's not a zatiya attribute. I want an attribute of Allah that's a purely functional, operative, action attribute. And he wasn't always characterized by that attribute. And he won't always be characterized by that attribute. And he does it when he wants, or he doesn't do it if he doesn't want. No, because that, you can't, that, well, yeah, yeah, that can be one, but we want one different from that one. Anybody? Tell me some of the things that Allah does, that he does, he doesn't do all the time. That's what it means. He does it, and sometimes he's not doing it. He does it when he will, and then when he doesn't want, when he doesn't will, he doesn't do it. And he hasn't always done it. And he won't always do it. There will come a time when he did, he won't do it, and there was a time when he didn't do it. Why did Salaam come up? What, you were going to say that? How you doing? Excuse me. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm getting it. I'm learning from them. Believe in that. I'm leaving from them. I'm learning from them. Believe me, brother. Well, why, Aki? I tell people all the time, I'm doing this for selfish reasons. Really, because I'm the one to benefit. The more you teach, the more you learn, brother. Believe me. Because I'm thinking of stuff that I didn't say in the class before. Some things I'm saying now. It just comes in my head to say now, and I didn't say in other places. Just from the vibe. Allah ascending His throne. Allah says, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arsh istawa. Allah, the beneficent one, ascended over and rose above us, and He ascended His throne. This is purely fi'liya. It's nothing to do with that either. Alright? Why is Allah ascending over the throne purely fi'liya? Remember what the meaning of fi'liya is. The attributes that are connected or associated to His will. If He wants to do it, He'll do it. If He doesn't want to do it, He won't do it. He wasn't always described or characterized as doing it, and He won't always will do it. This is something that He does what He wants, or He doesn't do what He doesn't want, but He always didn't do it. Why? Allah coming His decision. Allah descending His throne is the third part of every night. Why isn't this attribute like the Zatiya attribute? Always was and always will be. Why? Allah ascending the throne and descending. Think it. I say it again. Put on your thinking kufis and your thinking kimar. Tell me why.
He does that certain time.
That's not the reason though.
Because he comes down to check on his believers, see what they want to answer the prayer.
No. No. This is the, why? Come on, why? He's on.
He's on.
Why though? Why? And what? And the same answer that you're about to give into Allah, may Allah grab it in that area, Allah treat you in knowledge and memory. And the same answer you get ready to give, if you just take it back to why he never did this, before it was, I'm trying to give you the answer. What's the reason? Here's the answer right here, and she's right here. You hit it right on the head when you say the day of resurrection. But you right, you real close. Can anybody grasp what she's getting close to?
Yeah. That it lost me a little bit, but actually he was coming out because
what's the reason?
It wouldn't be necessary for him to come down after he took him off.
No, listen, I'm going to say it one more time. No, he doesn't come down to forgive. Don't say that. And also, don't say that Allah comes down to check. Because Allah doesn't have to come down to check. Alright? Allah doesn't have to come down to forgive because Allah is over the throne. He forgives as he pleases, how he pleases, and he doesn't have to move his position to forgive his people. Alright? Don't say that. I'm going to give you the answer right now. Without saying the answer. Allah, you all know that Allah created seven heavens. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Above the seven heavens is water. Above the water are angels. Imam Bukhari said that water is not like our water too. He said. Right? The angels are holding the throne of Allah. They're called Hamalat al-Arsh. So the angels are holding the throne, they carry the throne of Allah. Over that throne is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorified and exalted. Why can't Allah be described? Why can't Allah ascending the throne be of this type? The one that has here, the one that he always was characterized as and always will be. Why not? See, there's two ways you can get this answer. In my humble opinion, maybe 50 ways, I don't know. But in my humble opinion, there's two ways you can get this answer. Either number one, with using Dalil Naqli, using transmitted evidence from Quran and Sunnah, or using Dalil Aqli, using rational proof. If you knew this hadith, you'd get this answer immediately. There's a hadith that would tell you the answer immediately. And that hadith is, it says, before there was anything, there was no law. And there was nothing with him. As an answer. Now, give me the answer.
After he created everything, the angels. After he created the angels, and his angels are like to carry out certain.
He's getting away from it. What is the key subject I'm talking about? You're talking about Allah ascending his throne. What is the subject in this sentence? No, what are we talking about? What is something I'm talking about that Allah is ascending? He's ascending the throne. Okay.
Has the throne always been here?
No.
Then how can he have always done it? How can he have always ascended the throne when the throne wasn't here? Only Allah was here. There was nothing here but Allah.
In its existence, right? In order for Allah to be characterized as always doing something, he always will, the thing that he's always doing had to have been there too. You see? How can he always be ascending his throne if there wasn't any throne? The throne is created. And what the sister was saying, she was getting real close, Allah is going to destroy everything, including the throne. Including the throne. Alright? Allah is going to destroy the heavens and the earth, the dunya, everything. So now as the throne is going to be destroyed, how is he going to ascend it? Isn't the throne a part of creation? That means his extension also is something that he always wasn't characterized as doing, and he always won't be characterized as doing. This is fi'liyah. It's associated with his will, something that if he wants to do it, he'll do it, and something that if he doesn't want to do, he won't do. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fajr, right? He says,
وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا.
And your Lord will come with the angels, rank upon rank. Your Lord will come. Is this ذاتية or فعلية? No. ذاتية or فعلية? How is it ذاتية? Allah is coming.
He's coming here. He's coming.
That's part of his essence? He's coming?
No, but he's, in order to come, he has to be here.
Yeah, but is that part of his operational attributes?
No.
It is not that he is. Not that he is. It's that he is. It's something that he, it, Allah hasn't always been characterized as coming. And he always will be characterized as coming. No, this coming means this rain. Rain. He comes when he wants to, and if he doesn't want to come, he's not going to come. Alright? But he hasn't always been characterized as coming, right? I don't know if it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clear. Huh? Everybody's looking. It's not clear?
Yeah.
Who doesn't understand? Raise your hand, whoever doesn't understand. I mean, totally. You don't understand? Not to, you understand totally?
Not totally.
You don't either? You understand? You think you do? Alright, I'm going back to myself again, to my that. Right now, the that of Dawood is sitting in this chair. And I'm not trying to compare myself for a while. Alright, let me create it right now. The that of Dawood, I'll try to be perfectly still, just make me my mouth not move. The that of Allah, the that of Dawood, the being of Dawood, the essence of Dawood is sitting in this chair. Let's imagine that I'm not talking and my eyes are not moving. Alright? The that of Dawood is not action. There's nothing moving on me. Right? My arm is not moving, my eyes are not moving, etc. The that of me is just what you see. That's not an operational, functional attribute of me. That's me. But now, if I pick up this pen or this chalk, that's a functional attribute. I lifted the chalk. I lifted it because I wanted to. And if I didn't want to lift it, I won't. Can human beings be characterized, always have been, and always will be characterized as having a nose? You're talking about normal human beings that come out of their mother's womb, that are born with all the things that human beings are normally born with. Is an attribute of a human being the nose of an attribute, is that ذاتية or فعلية? This will let me know if you know what I'm talking about. It's ذاتية, it's not فعلية.
Mm-hmm.
Your nose is not running around the street somewhere. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. Do you really understand what I'm saying now? Alright? The lips are ذاتية attributes of human beings. Human beings have always been and always will be characterized by having lips. By having a heart, by having sexual organs, by having arms, by having hair, etc. But the attributes that are related to our actions are kindness, arrogance, cheerfulness, benevolence. If we want to do it, we'll do it. If we don't want to do it, we won't do it. You see? And even when we die, we're laying on the table with our bodies to be washed, those attributes of that idea are still with us, but the other ones are not.
Right.
Where did the other ones go?
With Allah.
We go back to Allah to be questioned. See? The Fariya attributes go back to Allah. What's your evidence?
The evidence?
The evidence. You're absolutely right. The evidence of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, from that it says, there are three things follow the dead. Yes, Ba'ul, make it salah. Three things follow the dead. His loved one, family, his money, his property, and his deeds. Two returns, Sayyadir Isnani, wa yabqa wa'id, and one remains. All the things that are part of the essence of the human being, that stops at the grave. But the things of his acting goes on. Now you see the difference between the back and the action, the person themselves and the actions of the person, the same or similar with Allah. Allah has the essential personal
metaphysical attributes, his eyes, his face, his hands, his sense. The proper officer of Allah has a sense. Alright? His feet, his fingers. Those are with Allah. Allah's fingers don't come out and touch you in your head. He's not operative like that, you see. But he sees you and he always will see you. He hears you and he always will hear you. And he sees and hears everything, even when there's nothing to see or there's any sound. He always did this. He always had the attributes, that's what I'm saying. That he always had this attribute and he always will. Now sometimes we find attributes that are both. And some of you have mentioned some of them that are both together. One is speech. That is kalam. Allah has the attribute of the one who speaks. He always had that attribute. He always be characterized as one who speaks. He always will be characterized as one who speaks. And it is a functional attribute because speaking is functional. Is that clear now? Is it kind of clear now? Okay, how much time we have? You ready? 5%. Okay. Is that pretty clear? Okay, now let's go on. Huh? Go now. You know, and really, brothers and sisters,